I realize that what I'm going to talk about tonight is something that I have talked about earlier, but it is something that I personally feel like it's necessary. I believe that the Lord's led me to do this, so it may seem like a review. But every morning there is, almost every morning during the week when I'm listening to the radio, I hear one particular commercial about a church. And it's just like fingernails on a blackboard to me. I want you to know, it bothers me to no end to hear this announcement. And they say this, and you guys will probably know who it is when I start, but I'm not wanting to start a war with some particular church. It's just the way this commercial comes across. And it says, "Hello, I am from so-and-so church, and our goal is to grow. We have classes for all ages." Blah, 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 blah. It's an infomercial. Come here to us and then come learn about God. Now, I went to school to be a journalist, so I had to take other classes and ads and stuff as one of them. When you listen to that commercial, after this gets pointed out, there's a thing called a throwaway line, and that's just the thing you throw at the end of any commercial, the end of a letter, like, "Sincerely yours." Doesn't mean anything, you just tag it on there so everybody knows it's the end. It starts off, your emphasis is, "Our goal is to grow." That's it, folks. Their goal is to grow, and then they talk about their classes, they talk about everything else, and then their throwaway line at the very end of it's, "Come learn with us about God." I want to barf. Why? Because every religion in the world says the same thing. We want to grow. We want you to come join us so that we can grow numerically, so we can build big churches. We want to grow and blah, 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 and our group give us money eventually and we will learn about God. Every religion will teach you about God. True gods, false gods, but they will teach you about God. Here at this place, it's different. It's going to be different. Our focus here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Come grow with us and we'll teach you about God. That kind of mentality, that kind of direction, that kind of leadership, if it is not Christ-centered, if it's not right there on Jesus Christ, it will lead you astray and lead you possibly right to the pits of hell. And they will say, "We had good intentions," but they miss the whole point where it says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to God except through me." And if that emphasis is not on Jesus Christ, you ain't going to make it, and what you're learning is worthless. I mean, it's facts and it's figures. I would rather be dumber than a box of rocks and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Brother Mike was talking this morning about this guy he was talking to last night on the telephone. And the guy says, if I got this right, "I am doing these different things because I believe the more works I do, the higher I will get in heaven." But if you really read what's going on, that's not what happens. And it's not what happens in your lives either. If you're throwing a party and you're setting up the tables and you're making your guest list and you're going to have your buddies in, do you say, "I want to have this person closest to me because they've worked really, really hard"? No, you say, "This one's my friend. He's a bit of a jerk, but I like him. This one's a snot, but isn't she funny? I like her. I want these people up close because I enjoy them." It's not what you know, it's who you know. I want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because then He's going to say, "Come a little closer, buddy. you're my friend and I want you up closer. I'm not saying go out and live a life of a heathen reprobate. I'm just saying it's better to emphasize your relationship with Jesus Christ and know Him, have a personal relation, than it is to know all the facts and figures about God. I don't know if you ever thought about it this way, but on the way over I was thinking, you know, if I see some hottie, and I think, and then I start inquiring about her. What's her name? What's her digits? Where does she work? What time does she get off? Where does she live? If I never establish a personal relationship with her, I'm a stalker. You know, I'm a creep. I'm a person that's just, and falling around. And I say, oh, but I love her, I love her. There is no personal relationship there. She should call a cop. Especially if I'm hiding in the bushes looking at her when she goes by. And that is what is going on in a lot of churches. They teach you all about God and facts and figures and what His name is and His nicknames are and what He does and where He's at. And you learn all this stuff and you're just stalking Him all the time. But you never come into a personal relationship. You never become friends with Him. He never becomes a friend with you. And it says on the last days, people are going to come up and say, but Lord, Lord, we knew all about you. Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things to impress you? He's going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. Leave me alone. You're a stalker. Ew. Yeah, remember that one guy, I can't think of his name, but he fell in love with Jodie Foster, the actress, and he learned everything about her, so to impress her, he tried to shoot Ronald Reagan. Isn't that the guy he tried to shoot? And that's a stalker, folks. And there's a lot of people who try to impress God with something they do. And sometimes they've done some bizarre things out there trying to, hey God, look at me, I'm over here. I know that if you ever looked at me, you'd fall in love with me. That's the way a stalker approaches it. The teachings of the Scripture is different. You build a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You talk to Him, you know Him, it's all about Him. And what we're talking about tonight is the presence of Jesus Christ. Not just the presence of God, you're wanting the presence of Jesus Christ. You can't get to the presence of God without going through Jesus Christ. You can't get connected with God the Father until you have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And when in the book of the Revelation, it starts off, and this is a book that is revealing Jesus to us. Straightforward, it's revealing Jesus to us. And this is what he says. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Dropping down to about, let's say verse 17. And when I saw him, he had talked about this voice that he heard, but when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me and said, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last, the living one. And this is how we know it was Jesus that was talking. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. That's why we know it's not God the Father that's talking here, because God the Father never died. But we do know that this, I fell at His feet as a dead man, and He said, don't be afraid, I am the first, the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades. That is the person that you want to build a personal relationship. And one of the ways you do it is prayer. Most people learn to pray by, O Father, how art thou? We ask that thou would bless us today and give us the things we needest the mostest. Bless the missionaries upon the fields that are afar and be with those who are sick and afflicted. Heal them, bring them, raise them up, and bring them back into our presence. Now that's the kind of prayer that most of us was taught and we've heard so many times. The prayer that should be is like this. Hi, how are you today? When you get up the first thing in the morning, I should be reading this the last thing, but Psalm 92 says this. Psalm 92, verse 1 through 2. It's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness at night. First thing in the morning, declare thy loving kindness. And the last thing at night, thy faithfulness. Get up in the morning and say, Hi, Jesus. I know you care about me, and this is going to be a great day because you're with me no matter what happens. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's great, God. How are you? I had a good night's sleep. I didn't have a good night's sleep. It was kind of restless. Hey, Jesus, I had some freaky nightmarish dreams. That was really strange. That's what prayer is just the talking to Jesus Christ, relating to Him and telling Him what's going on in your life. And at the end of the day, you say, Well, God, Jesus, you said this, that as my day is, so should my strength be. And here I am. Now I lay me down to sleep. And you know what? You brought me through this entire day. You know, I had a bad night last night. Why don't you help me sleep tonight? It's been good knowing you. I've enjoyed today. I'll talk to you first thing tomorrow morning. How's that? Love you. Bye. That's what prayer is. And that is building a relationship. Somebody asked me one time, how many times should I pray in the day? This is a married lady. I said, how many times do you talk to your husband in a day? Oh, I talk to him all the time. Well, what do you say? Oh, just chat and tell him what's going on. I said, well, that is what you're trying to build, is this personal relationship. And remember, it's always Jesus first. It's Jesus in the middle, and it's Jesus at the last. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you're not going to get to God the Father till you get connected with Jesus Christ. That's what the point of this church is always to emphasize Jesus Christ, not just facts and figures, unless those facts and figures point us to Jesus Christ. Because we need Him in our life to become influential. You say, well, why do we need to be influential? Because if we don't become influential, how are we going to influence our friends and families to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and come into that personal relationship where they are favored of God and blessed because of what Jesus did for them and because of our trust in Him? We're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm just going to read you quite a bit. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, say through 19, 21. What's happened is Paul has got himself into a jam, or some people's got him into a jam, and he's afraid the Ephesian people are going to say, oh my gosh, Paul's in a terrible situation, and they're going to get real nervous about it. So he's wanting to write to them and kind of calm it down. And he says, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He, God the Father, carried out in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence, access through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations, at my promises that I'm having on your behalf because of you, the problems I'm having, which is because of you, for I'm willing to do this for your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundant beyond all we ask or think, according to that power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This whole context, which we're going to go through slowly and read about, there's words here that might not mean a whole lot to us yet, but when we come to the word saints, he's not talking about people with halos around their heads. He's talking about people who have accepted Jesus Christ. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are a saint. And that's all it means. You've accepted Christ, you're a saint. That's, it's just saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's not built upon your actions. It's built upon a fact that you have decided and you trust in Jesus. Remember, the word faith means a peaceful trust in what Jesus has told you. A peaceful trust in what the Word of God tells you. A peaceful trust. And so if you're all stirred up, you need to come to the place of a peaceful trust. And you do that by prayer, talking to Him about it, and stay there. And if you have to work, you still say, God, I've got to keep working over here. I don't want to get fired. But I'm having this trouble. Would you help me with this? Give me guidance. Give me understanding. Send somebody into my life to lead me so I'll know what to do. I'm depending upon You. It's always Jesus. I'm depending upon You, Jesus, to teach me, to lead me, to guide me, to give me wisdom, to give me insight. However you talk to God, you just do it. And you just tell Him all your troubles, because it says, cast upon Him all your cares. So that's what he, it's always about Jesus. So let's start with verse 11. In accordance with the eternal purpose which He, God the Father, carried out in Jesus Christ. It's everything that we see going on in this world, and everything that happened to Jesus Christ, and everything that happened from the creation to this point, has been purposed by God the Father. It is not out of control. Mike was talking about the volcanoes and the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the hurricanes and the famine and the wars and the rumors of wars. And Jesus warned us all about that, says it's going to be increasing. Don't get creeped out. This is part of the eternal purpose of God. He knew it was going to come. He gave us a heads up. How is that for coolness? He's told us, guys, this is coming. It's not out of control. And God had this done, and it's all in accordance with the eternal purpose that God is going to do. And He's doing it through Christ Jesus our Lord. Once again, Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the emphasis. In Him, we have boldness. In Jesus, we have boldness and access through faith in Him. Faith is a quiet, trusting rest in Jesus. We have access and boldness to what? Used to, when you came to the throne of God, actually you couldn't even get in the presence of God. They had barriers of different kinds set around Him so you couldn't get to His presence. They even built walls there at the last at Jerusalem, and you couldn't go beyond this point. There were some points that if you step over the line, they would stone you to death immediately for crossing that line. I mean, just putting your toe over that line. They would kill you. You didn't have access to God. You always stood afar off and you kind of talked to Him and He was way over there. But now, through Christ, when He died and shed His blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. When He shed His blood and you said, I trust that, I believe that He was good enough. I believe that He raised from the dead. He was so good. I trust Him that He not just washed it away, but He destroyed all the failures in my life. At that point, He gives you His perfect standing before the Father. Jesus could go before God anytime He wanted. And I mean literally, right before God. And at that point, when He took all your sins and your failures and took them on the cross, He killed them. And then told you that you could go, so we have boldness and access. As a matter of fact, we're told to go boldly before the throne of God. We're told to go boldly before the throne of grace. Not the throne of judgment, but the throne of favor. Favor meaning He likes you. He's saying, you have been forgiven of all your sins, and I see you as righteous in Jesus Christ. Once again, Jesus is a sinner. Come boldly up here and talk to me because of what Jesus did. Recognize what Jesus did and come talk to me. We have bold access to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and this is in accordance with what He's thought about doing forever and ever and ever. I ask you not to lose heart in my tribulations on your behalf, but for they are for your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That's just something that struck me while I was standing here. There is a family of people in heaven, and then there's families here on the earth, but there is a family in heaven. If you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and you have a peaceful trust in that, and it's settled, you belong to the family of heaven. You no longer have to refer to Him as God. You can say Father, Dad, Pop, Papa, whatever personal relationship you feel comfortable with talking to your Father, and Jesus is now your brother. So you're part of that family who's based in heaven. Is that just way cool? Remember, you are no longer a part of the family of Adam. You're not associated with that family anymore. You've been kicked up to a better class of people. You are now a Christian, and you are a child of God. Not a child of Adam, but a child of God. And sometimes people act and treat us like we are stupid, and we are ignorant, and we don't know, and we don't have scientific proof, and they don't know what they're talking about. But folks, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you are not just 10 times, hundreds of times smarter than all those people over there who have rejected Him. You are among the minority of people who are the super intelligent people of the world. How is that? You were smart enough to say, I need help and Jesus is my help. Jesus, I need you. You were smart enough to call upon God while He would hear. You're smart enough to go through Jesus Christ to seek God the Father through Him, that your sins could be washed away. The way, the truth, and the life, you got it through Jesus Christ. You're smart. All these other people are just, I don't think that's right. There's got to be a better or a harder way, or I got to work, or I got to pay money. And when I get there, I'll talk to Him. Lord, Lord, didn't I do all this stuff? Sorry, guy, don't know who you are. You're a crazy little stalker. You go over there. Hey, how are you? Come on up here. You are part of the family of God. He's prayed for all this, that He would grant you, according to His riches in glory, the strength with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. You want the power and the presence of God in your life? Paul says, I was praying that He would work through His Spirit, through the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, through His Spirit, through us, that we would come to terms in our hearts through faith. What's faith? Trusting, peaceful trusting in Christ. That through this peaceful trusting, we know we have this assurance, it's right, and we become deeply rooted and grounded in this love. Whose love? People say, you've got to love Jesus if you want to get to heaven. You've got to know that you love Jesus. You've got to love Jesus. You've got to love God. That's not what it says here. It says that you would be grounded and rooted in love and be able to understand with the saints, that's all of you people out there have accepted Christ, what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ, not our love, because if it's our love, it's Doyle-centered, it's you-centered, it's I-centered, it's self-centered, but to know the love of Christ. The love of Christ for us. If you want to know how much He loves you, go check out the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and sit there and watch that thing. And it doesn't even begin to show what actually happened to Christ. But when you see it, you say, He did that and more for me. It's His love for you that you are to understand and be comprehending and to be totally overwhelmed with. And when you understand that and you have that full knowledge, actually it says it's incomprehensible, but you can, it will overwhelm you is the way we should look at it. We can't scope it all out because it's eternal and it's great and it's overwhelming, but He can reveal it to us as much as we can take of it. And with that, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. We'll be filled with the fullness of God the Father because we have understood and are seeking to understand that the love that Christ has for us. We're back to that stalker thing again. Oh, I love you. Look what I did. I brought you a toad. I brought you a snake. I don't like spiders and snakes. That ain't what it takes to love me or whatever. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, and there's people who are coming to Christ going, look what I brought you. I did all this stuff to you. Don't you love me? Because I love you and I'm going to show you how much I love you. Not the way it works. If you can't develop a personal relationship where you understand that He loves you, and you quit trying to impress Him, and you just say, guy, the thing that you did for me, your death on the cross, that beating you took for me that filleted you alive, and I mean that literally because that's what the Scripture says, He was filleted alive. And then He carried that cross. And then He went up to Calvary and He laid down and they nailed Him. He raised it up and He could not die. That's something people don't understand a lot of times. He could not die because He says, they can't take my life from me. I lay it down. So He had to go through a certain amount of suffering which we can't comprehend until finally He says, my Father, why have You forsaken me? He was forsaken so we could have that personal relationship. He took all of our failures and He died with them. And He killed them. And everything that He suffered and bled and died for, He gave to us freely. And then at the end He said, it's finished. It's all accomplished. The price has been paid. All the sins from Adam all the way up to the future, wherever it ends at, we don't know. But all the way out there to the very last sinner that walks on the face of this earth, it's paid for. Then He chose to quit breathing and He gave up His spirit at that point. And it says that His bones were out of joint. Ow. And He did that because He loved you. 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 And He loved me. And when we understand and totally comprehend to the best of our ability and say, wow, He does love us. Look what He did for us. Not what we did for Him, but look what He did for us. Jesus, teach me more about Your love. Teach me more about You. Let me be ever seeking You and always please be revealing Yourself to me each and every day. And as we go trying to seek His presence and His love and understand, it says, then the fullness of God will dwell within us. And He is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And what's that power based upon? Our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the fact that He loves us and the fact that He gave Himself for us and He took all of our failures from us, killed Him on the cross with Himself when He died, and then left us an inheritance. Left us an inheritance. Then He rose from the dead to guarantee that we would receive what He left us. How is that? He said, folks, I left you all sorts of things, but you've got to be willing to trust me and rest in Him. And then this abundant, powerful God that's working in your lives can do all these things that are far above what you are able to ask or to think. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. To Him, God the Father, be glory in the church. And to God the Father be glory in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This ends up once again talking about Jesus. The eternal purpose of God was that all this stuff would happen so we could come into a personal relationship with Christ. And when we comprehend that love for us, that power that's working with us will become more abundant. The presence of God is what we're going for. It is true that God is omnipresent. Big word that means God is absolutely everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. And that's not what we're talking about. When we come into the presence of Jesus Christ and we're focusing in on Him, honing in on Him, Jesus and Jesus only, this is our conscious choice to do this. It's not done by a ritual. It's not done by three songs and a prayer. It's not done by giving money in the offering plate. But when we consciously say, I want to be in your presence. I want to know you. I want a personal relationship with you. I want to understand what you've done. And I want to understand the amazing grace that you have poured out upon me. I want to understand all of that. That is the source. And when that happens, the presence that he's talking about is manifest. Fancy word means it's like opening up a door so everybody can see it. That's what we're going for. We want Jesus in our life so that everybody can see Jesus in our life. And they can say, wow, is that person different? They have changed so much. Because you were in the presence of Jesus Christ, you have been transformed into this new creature, into this new being that's so totally different from the old guy or old girl that you used to be, that people scratch their heads and say, I remember when they were... But look at them now. The presence of God is in their life. And that's what we're wanting, is that presence manifested, revealed to this world through our trust in Him. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise You and thank You and give You all glory. Father, all we really want is Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. We want to understand what He did for us. We want to understand His love for us. We want to understand what You did eternally, pointing it out from the very beginning. Behold the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the world. Father, we want Jesus in our life and we want Jesus in this church. And then we want that power to work through us, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus will be revealed through us to this world. And the end of that is to bring honor and glory to You, Father, through Jesus. And Jesus said in the last chapter of the book of the Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That's Jesus. Father, that's what we want in our lives. First, middle, and last, Jesus. In His name we pray. Make it so. Amen.